This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Another exciting edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. My name is Leonard Sachs.
And my name is Debbie Deal.
Debbie, today in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, we're going to get into some topics that are related to construction, but more related to how construction could help the Bahamas.
Okay.
I think we don't do enough of connecting the dots between construction and helping the Bahamas.
That's true.
Right off the bat, I want to say that one of the things that makes, and you could give your opinions because you're spend a lot of time in Canada and live there, and then you transition to Bahamas. You would know that in Canada, it's a lot easier to get financing for a mortgage.
I would imagine so, but I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
I could tell you. I had some clients I met, I guess now, some 15, 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they had two houses, and they were Bahamians, mm-hmm. moved to Canada and had a job there, and they was able to get two houses there and wow. one here. And so the financing model is a little bit, at the time, mm-hmm. relaxed. They may have changed it now. So when we consider how financing is in the Bahamas, generally, all of us get one house for life. Let's just be honest. The house you buy with a 30-year roof on it, that's your one house for life. That's you get it at 30. You're at 60 when you get paid off. You're not going back to the bank at 60 and say, I want to do this again.
I had an appointment yesterday with a dermatologist, and she was saying that she wanted to get another piece of equipment. But she says it's taking so much time and paperwork and effort
to
get financing, and it's been months, and it still hasn't
approval.
Come through yet.
Yeah.
This woman has her own business here and in Freeport, so it's not like...
Of course.
I agree with that.
You can imagine. So imagine she has all of that, and she probably has capital and all that stuff.
And probably a house and stuff, too. I don't even know that.
And they still are taking long. So imagine the poor family, husband and wife, medium to low income. I don't even want to say low income. I say the medium income, but they have kids in private school and they got life. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get a home. They're trying to get a mortgage. They're trying to buy a home. It's not going to be easy.
No.
And I think some of the times we dismiss that because we are fortunate enough to already gone through that process and have. Mm-hmm.
That's
that
why
others
my
are trying
gray.
To get it. But that's why I have none.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. So we both know what the stress
so,
is.
Okay? That's how you can tell somebody
that's who have
had a
house.
Mortgage
yeah.
and paid it off.
You got gray hair and I got no hair. That's the key right there. You could see it. But in all honesty, we sometimes, and I say we, all dismiss the fact that mm-hmm. home ownership is not easy. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's getting harder and harder. Just this week, I tell you what an interesting story before we get into it more in depth. I had a former student of mine mm-hmm. who's now an accountant, doing well, hasn't got a CPA yet, but now looking towards the future, got mm-hmm. one kid, and wants to get a mortgage. Now, they don't know nothing from nothing. They're young, 26 years old, mm-hmm. and they want to get a piece of land, and here's what they want to build. They want to build a townhouse for them, mm-hmm. and then a two-bedroom apartment, and then a one-bedroom apartment, all this whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I say, okay, cool. What's your budget? So I'm qualified for $400,000. Okay.
How much is the property?
The property I'm looking at is like $150,000.
So that gives them $250,000.
And that's what they want built with the $250,000. they don't know. Okay. So I had to be very honest. I tell you what. Let me just be very honest with you. At today's prices, mm-hmm. you're going to barely get the townhouse built. Just one side, not a duplex townhouse. Mm-hmm. Just your single dwelling townhouse for that $250,000. Wow. So the other parts of it that you want, which you would like to have to augment the mortgage payment and all that, you can't afford that. Now, what you could look at, I say you could look at doing, starting with the plan for all three, build the townhouse, and maybe 5 years go and remortgage it and see if you could get another $300,000, because right. that's what we're going to take.
Right. Or do the townhouse so it's finished on the outside, but don't finish the inside and build the other one for you to live in.
Yeah.
And once then you've got more equity there where you
and
could actually
go. And
go,
do the townhouse. Yes. So you could do it reverse yes. way. So, yeah, but I think one of the point I wanted to make is that, and Carla, we're going to come to you right now. One of the point I wanted to make is that there's a disconnect I feel that young people and people who haven't gotten a mortgage yet and haven't built any yet in terms of what they've been qualified to have mm-hmm. and what they want to get. And sometimes that gap is very far. Let's go mm-hmm. to this caller. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
It's a lot of sense.
How are you?
Boy, you ran across a mine. I'm in my car.
Gosh,
and I
Rose
thought
Pearl.
About you, and then I realized I listened to your voice. That's probably why I thought, but just...
Yeah, probably. How are you
but
doing?
Great program, man. I've been trying to call in to let you know, man, you all have a great program. I enjoy it. It's eye-opening.
Thank you.
And it's very much welcome, my friend.
Well, thank you
keep
much.
Keep up a good work.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Madam Deal.
Thank you for your call. Thank you for your call.
Y'all keep us informed, man. This is very important.
This is what we're trying to do here. That's what we're trying
right.
to do here.
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll talk later. Thanks, all man. Right. So that disconnect, that gap, I mean, and again, you go to school, right, Debbie?
Mm-hmm.
Where in our public school system are we teaching young people?
We're not.
And here's what's scary. And I heard another conversation with the young people. They were questioning, 40 years ago, their parents bought their home inside Yellowella for $35,000 and $40,000. They're looking at the same homes. And for $250,000, $300,000, they say, how does a home that started at $40,000 that my parents bought, I want to now buy my neighbor's house down the road in the same area, it's costing $300,000.
Because a bag of cement used to be $6.
Now,
how
a
much
bag
is
of cement is 19 something, almost $20.
Right. Yeah, a piece. Sheet of plywood was like $8 or $9.
Sheet of plywood was almost $50.
I know.
It's at least $38, $40.
Yeah.
And not to mention, you start to get into finished plywood, you're almost $100 a sheet.
Oh, yeah.
You get what we call both sides good. You're almost $100 a sheet.
I'm wondering if maybe the banks need to do some more education, even if it's just blurbs on the radio
or
coming in here or something, to let people understand just because you're borrowing money doesn't mean you can do anything you want with it, and it's not going to go as far as
you think.
Somebody needs to guide them.
Yeah.
Financial planners, maybe.
Well, and that's one aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But two... And Carla, we're going to come to you in 2 seconds. Two, we, see the construction community, mm-hmm. need to advise the banks. Okay, here's what we'd like
to
advise them.
To
yeah, they have to listen. Here's what we'd like to mm-hmm. advise them. When you qualify an individual for $250,000, $300,000,
mm-hmm.
and because you don't have an experience of what size the things is, and they come to you with a 4,000 square foot home,
mm-hmm.
you need to be the first person to tell them, I don't think you can be able to build it with this money you're getting from
right.
us. That's the first place. Because you don't tell them that. They walk from you thinking they could get the house. Then they meet Debbie, and Debbie say, yeah, that's going to cost you $550. No, but the bank, give me $300. That's kind of a problem because you don't have enough.
And then they're disappointed. Don't have somebody that's disappointed. Talk to them so that they will be extremely excited about what happens, but not if you're not teaching them the right way.
They don't understand. Let's take this call. Call you live. Go ahead.
Sunny days is stuck in the waste along with you and
Debbie.
Y'all are fine?
Yep.
Wonderful. Something came to my mind as y'all were talking, right? When it comes to children out of school, finish school, college, right? Say about 20, 25, 30.
Yeah.
Even senior school, they finish senior school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got a good job. What portion of them would get a piece of property to get a decent house? Or how many of them gets a piece of property to get a decent house or buy a decent house?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I think, to be honest, a lot more of young people are getting properties earlier. I know we don't really appreciate sometimes that they're listening to part of the story in terms of what the move to advance their future. Mm-hmm. They're getting properties. The problem becomes in is that they're more sophisticated, Raymond. They don't want to live in Bantown no more like our parents, you know. They don't want to live in Yellowella. They don't want to live in Angleton. They don't want to, sad to say, they don't want to live anywhere in the interior. Now, as you go towards the exterior, you're closer to the water. And you know what happens when you get closer to the water? The scarcity, beyond the natural disaster, the scarcity
prices.
And the prices, because I want to live next to Debbie Deal. I know I can't afford that, but that's what I want to live. I want to live on the Eastern Road. I want to live to my friends who are in Cable Beach. I know one thing, if you could find a piece of property, it's going to start in the mid twos to threes. So, Raymond, I think what is happening is that they're making the right first steps, but that's securing a mortgage. They're going to be into the 500s. Now, imagine, you're 25 years old, Debbie. When you were 25 years old, were you getting a $500,000 mortgage at 25?
What?
Say what? So, Raymond, I think I'm encouraged by the young persons who are getting the land. But when you already start out, if you're anywhere in the West or anywhere in the East, in the very nice areas in the East, you're north of 150 for the land. Just the land. I know my parents were building the entire house with the land at $150,000.
Wow. Well, I know my youngest daughter, she wanted to do her own thing. She had been working over in Aura, so she, you know, had saved some money and everything. And we were on our way out west to look at a piece of property when a friend called and said, listen, we got half a lot, and so it's small, 65 by like 75 or something like that. And we want $70,000 for it, right? So she bought it. So she bought the property and started to build. And she built her building up to Belt Course. Then she went to the bank and was able to get a mortgage because she had invested money
into
it. Right. So she had something. And they were able to actually, based on what she was actually making and what she already had as an asset, she was able to get financing.
It helps get
the financing. She was like 19 when she did that.
She wasn't able to get the financing?
No, she was. She was. She was 19 at the time.
But so Raymond, I mean, there are some people who really put their head down and focus on obtaining a home and not trying to get, again, it would be cool to have a nice property in Cable Beach, right? But she probably would have paid double what she paid for the property at $70,000.
And she didn't really want to live there because she was working at Atlantis, but she was looking.
She was looking.
She was looking, you know, and we were just on our way out.
Well, let me cut you for that. I used to work in Cable Beach when I could have seen, right? And what I've noticed today, right, you know, sometimes I go places, people take me places, and it seems as if as though Cable Beach you know, being filled out, people buying it out.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
There's not much space there now.
Very little left to buy. Very little. You could count it almost on one hand. Very little left to buy.
Well, I want you all to encourage the youngsters, you know, make them to know they got a place in this country. And,
they do.
Well, that's why I told the story about my daughter. You know, it's just, you have to be focused. You have to know exactly what you want. And that you also need guidance.
And you need guidance.
Yeah.
Right.
The person that she went to when she went to the bank was very good at telling her everything that she really needed to know to make the decisions.
And here's the thing, Brayman. Let me ask you a question. in your entire life, have you had opportunity to, you know, at least young person say, listen, I know you'd like to live in the most affluent areas, but I tell you what, one of the greatest things you could have is owning something of your own, no matter where it is.
Mm-hmm. For real.
That's still good advice to tell people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, you know, I think we should all be encouraging persons to acquire land mm-hmm. and to build homes. But mm-hmm. my new philosophy on that is build a home that you could afford and expand it. Debbie will tell you, her home started one size. It's now gone through with five different renovations. Now it's a mansion. And everyone could do the same thing.
And what I did in my book, in my my plan book, is I had a number of plans that were where you started with this, and then you added this on, and then you added that on, and you designed the roofs, you know, where you're adding on as a gable as opposed to a hip roof, mm-hmm. and the other side was a hip. So when you added in, you added
and
in
you
together.
Just add into it. So it's a lot of things.
You can do a lot. Yeah.
You know, it would be nice if y'all could get a position in the schools to educate the youngsters with coming out of school, you know?
That's a good idea. We could probably talk to Ms. Russell, Director Russell again.
They would meet hardship in the world.
Mm-hmm. They probably will, you know, and that's
a
challenge.
We all do.
They can meet hardship, mm-hmm. but it's being prepared for the hardship that makes all the difference. You can meet it. You can't duck it.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time. You're doing beautiful.
Thank you, Raymond. Thank you.
So
always good to hear from you. So, Debbie, let's go now to the central point of our conversation today. And we got this conversation point from the Minister of Housing, who in this week's commentary lamented that there are some 25,000 homes in the country that are either uninhabitable or in significant need of repair.
Actually, he changed it. There's about 6,000 that are uninhabitable.
Right. And the
25,000 is that are counted are like Airbnbs, rentals, and houses that people are living, something like that. That's what they counted as well.
So
I did not know that.
But let's go to the 6,000.
Correct.
Let's focus on 6,000.
Yes.
Currently, the housing demand, the demand for housing through the Department of Housing, and just a shout out to my friends at the Department of Housing and Director Clark. I probably will need to have you on the show sometime.
I think so.
The demand still outpaces the supply. At their last count, there were some almost 15,000 persons requesting access to government-funded housing.
Right.
If you're telling me we have an inventory of 6,000, that's almost half.
Right.
So we had mentioned, that's help. We had mentioned several times on this show,
mm-hmm.
What if, and we talked about this as an idea, what if the government bonded those houses from the banks,
mm-hmm.
involved the construction community,
mm-hmm.
we renovate those houses and make them good, suitable for purpose,
mm-hmm.
and then that 6,000 persons from the list, they get direct access into those repossessed, now repositioned houses.
Right.
And they're still building no longer 15,000 houses. They only have to build the remaining 6,000. What it does, though, it takes up the inventory of unoccupied homes,
mm-hmm.
increases the value of the homes in vicinity to that because you've improved them,
yes.
and adds value to the existing communities.
That. Yes. I love that.
I think that's a great idea.
And I have a feeling, or I should say, I can't imagine that a bank does not have insurance for themselves when persons walk away from mortgages. I can't imagine
They're not sitting there just taking losses.
So my thoughts are, if a bank has somebody who's walked away from a mortgage, and let's say there's $100,000 left on a $300,000 mortgage or something, right? I'm just using it an example. That $100,000, the bank could use their insurance
mm-hmm.
to cover that $100,000 to start,
mm-hmm.
right? And then whatever cost for renovating the house mm-hmm. would be, let's say it's $150,000, because it wouldn't be much because it should be a fairly decent house if it's $300,000.
Exactly.
So that would be a $150,000 loan that mm-hmm. the person would get,
mm-hmm.
and then they would after that, they would have to pay back the $100,000 that they loaned from the bank
mm-hmm.
because the bank would be using their
collateral, their equity,
or their insurance
mm-hmm.
as to secure that $100,000 until they pay it off. That way you get rid. The bank doesn't want to be in real estate.
They want to be in real estate. No. They want to be in the money purchasing business.
Right, but they need to think outside the box. I mean, you and I can. Yeah, you and I can think outside the box because we've had to go through it. You know,
there's no. The box is good for is letting go of your head when you're kidding. Imagine it's something else. That's what the box is good for. Call you live. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
Good, good. First time caller. Enjoy your show.
Awesome. Good. Thank you.
Yeah. Want to get your take on something because it's very interesting. We are in the process now of just got a property, but looking to build on it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess for us, the most frustrating thing now is the service level from the construction industry in general, because we're trying to see guidance on one, if there's an all-in-one solution, because they're like hassle-free, where architect, engineer, construction, tried one company, won't name them, but been waiting 3 months just for initial quote, so I don't know.
Wow.
Maybe we're doing it the wrong way, or like get your guidance.
And thank you for the question. Here's what I'd like to say. It is atypical, not typical, to go to a construction company and they are going to give you your architectural drawings, permit it, get approved. You go and get financing from it from an independent source, which would be the bank, and then they build a house. Why I say it's atypical but not unusual, there is only one company I know that is currently doing that, which is a development company, which would be obviously the company that everyone knows in this country that does that. Outside of that, you generally have to do that part of the legwork yourself. You go to architect and whatever, get your plans, get them approved, and then look for a contractor to build. So the one-stop shop we know is done, but it's not typical, and it's by one development company that does it. But you generally would have to do that part of the legwork yourself if you're not going to go to them.
And if you go to an architect that has been recommended to you and you're having a good relationship with them, they could also recommend to you builders that they call on when they're doing bids, because they would actually have to have certain persons that they will call and say, I've got something for you to bid on, and three or four of them would quote, and whoever gets the job gets the job.
Yeah.
So that would be a way of doing that. Also, architects work hand in hand with engineers. Mm-hmm. Because for most of the drawings, you have to have an engineer sign off on your roof and all this kind of stuff. So that's where I would start with all of that.
Yeah.
I think.
Carla, I generally, again, I like the one-stop shop approach. It's just that if you go to the one-stop shop, they have a process in place, and it is very helpful for some. But what you don't get with the one-stop shop approach is that ability to design the home the way you want it. They have models, and they will use your land, but the model that they have already priced out on it. So there's some limitations in that approach. Not that it's bad at all. It's just that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that conversation I had.
Yeah, you know it is. There's limitations with that.
That's what we're looking for, yeah.
Yeah, but
I guess for me, it's more of, right now, it's more word of mouth for architect and the like. So it's just navigating that.
Guess what? That's and you're right, Debbie. Before you go, where do you... You could go to the Institute of Bahamian Architects, right? But you're John Doe. You don't know any of the names you're seeing.
So you know what I would do? I would contact the Bahamian Contractors Association, which is us, right? Okay. That's where we're representing the Bahamian Contractors Association. They are the ones that have this show. And I would contact our administrator, Donna, and I would ask Donna, we are looking for A, B, C, and D, and the ones that we have that are members, she could refer to you. That's what I would do.
For architects?
For architects.
Mm. Okay, I mean, that's one approach.
You went to somebody's birthday last week, so there are people that are
that
a member
we know.
That we know.
But that's one approach, because we know architects too through our association, who are members of our association.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, you don't have, all you're going to see is like a phone book. You're going to see the list of 100
and
something architects. And you don't know.
You have to just close your eyes and point, and that would be the
one. Or you start with A and you end up with a lecture and associates. So, Carla, thank you very much for calling. I hope we're helpful with you. But you're navigating a process that thousands of Bahamians have gone through, and they could tell you it's not easy. But I would encourage you to, if you want a custom home and you want the home that you want, Find an architect, have your home designed, and then get somebody to build the home that you want.
But also go on our Facebook page and follow our Facebook page. There's plenty of different suggestions and things that are happening on that. And honestly, you're going to look at it and you're going to go, why didn't I think of this before?
First time,
right? We're builders. Yeah. We've dealt with the architects and the engineers because we have to do that before we could even do our job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much
for
calling. So yeah, that's something we do consider as well. So you're starting out. Uh-huh. You don't know nothing from nothing. But you went ahead, you met a realtor friend, you got some cash, you bought this land.
Right.
Now you want to build this house. And you're just, you pull open a phone book and you're looking architect and you're like, who do I just any mini money mo and thing call the number? Yeah, I got property off South Beach Road. I want to build a house. Do you guys do that? I mean, it's going to be an unnerving experience.
It is, yeah.
What we would suggest is talk to someone who's already gone through the process. Debbie, everyone knows somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You got an older cousin, an uncle, a friend who's in real estate. Okay, do you know an architect that you could recommend? I often ask that question. Now, I'm not saying you have to go with the person you recommend, but if someone asks, they're my three because they're friends of mine.
Right.
And I know one thing, they're not going to screw someone over because they're friends of mine. And then when we get together all the time, I got to tell you, but dude, why do you screw with this person who I referred you to? Mm-hmm. So I always recommend people to people I know. You do the same thing with persons you know. So I think just reach out to people and say, hey, I'm looking to start my project. I need to know, do you know an architect who would mind giving me a consultation?
Wouldn't you think the person that they bought the property from, the real estate agent, would know these people as
they
well?
They can ask.
Because real estate people are selling land and they're also selling homes that are being renovated and homes that are not being renovated. So they probably have a list of architects that they deal with on a regular basis as well, or an engineer.
Or some architect firm that they know. I mean, I think banks do the list thing, but other companies just, like realtors don't generally have a list, but they know architects. Mm-hmm. You know, the banks do the whole list thing.
Yeah.
And it's for their own purposes. But I think everyone knows someone who's...
Yes.
Should at least know someone who's an architect. It's not like there's 5,000 architects. There's really only 100 and some of them.
Yeah.
And when you divide 100 and some by 407,000 people, you kind of get like 0.1 something architects per person inside the country. It's not a lot. It's not a lot.
We also know that there's some persons who get plans done that are not really done by an architect.
And you could get an architectural technician if it's small enough and doesn't have the level of complexity.
Yeah.
And so there's a path for getting
then again,
your
you need somebody
built.
To guide you when you're building. How, you know, I think you should be there on the site watching. Every day you need to stop by.
I see the... if I go take my vehicle to get service, you will never see me in the garage. I don't know what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's me. I'm professional in building and design automation.
Right.
If you show me an electronic component that's bad, and you tell me it's bad, I have to take you away. I don't know if it's bad or not.
But if you
that's
have a contractor that tells you they're going to start the house on Friday, and then you go there Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and there's no contractor, I want to know that from the very beginning.
I understand that.
Yeah.
That's kind of your approach to it. If I say, if you're going to start on Friday, right? Which, first of all, you can't tell me you're going to start on Friday. You're
going
to tell me
you're going to
start on
Monday. Well, I was just using that as an example because
tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah.
Right? And then secondly, I got to know the person I'm dealing with. You know, so you try not to deal with shicey people. So if they're going to start on Monday, they start on Monday. If they don't start on Monday, you're going to know because you're excited, so you're going to come to NEO or say, hey, did we get started? Did we break ground? Did we do anything? But I know what you're meaning.
Yeah.
But I often have this difficulty with... I often tell people, I like professionals to do their stuff without non-professionals trying to think they're professional because I don't like when it happens.
But
I don't like when it happens at all.
But we've had so many people that have called us. I particularly remember the one woman who was talking about the person was building her roof and he built the pitch, a 212 pitch.
And does she know the 212 and 5? She doesn't.
She didn't know. She just knew that the flat was
low.
It was almost flat.
I agree.
It was almost flat.
Yeah.
So obviously she had not gone during the process of when the rafters were going up. Otherwise she would have noticed that earlier.
But even if she may have noticed that something looks odd, right?
Yeah.
But I think we have to be careful in not assuming that everyone has the capacity to determine what something should look like if it's right or wrong.
Well, you would think that.
No, you can't.
You would think that the person that would do the Ministry of Works and they would have the copy of the plan.
But that's not their job. And I keep talking about this. That's not their job. Their job is to make sure the roof doesn't fly off.
Okay.
It is an attachment element in the building. If you look at it, nothing on the inspection speaks to pitch. It says, is there tie downs? Is this of an engineer? Something we have a truss for? That's all it cares about.
Yeah.
So sometimes we but I understand what your approach is. But I don't. What I don't want people to do this is that you see the guy mixing blaster for the first time, and you're there telling them, I don't think that's right. You wouldn't know if it's right or not. If you've never mixed plaster, you have no idea.
Yeah,
if
but
it's
I
right
wouldn't think that. But I know we all drive around Nassau, so we know what roofs look like.
But we don't know what pitches they are.
Well, no, but we know that they are. A peaked roof,
yes.
Not a flat roof.
I understand that, but
like
I'm saying...
Like a Butler building.
No one could tell the difference. But looking at it, you're a novice. You don't know the difference between a 3 and a 5. You do not know. No, unless you're a professional, you could not tell the difference between a 3-12 and a 4-12.
No.
It's not noticeable enough.
Well, I made the mistake of saying to you the pitch, because I was just doing that out of my own. She didn't say that. She just said that the roof is basically almost flat.
And
so I can only assume that that would be a 212 pitch.
Well, whatever
again,
it was.
Again, that's my own assumption.
Of course.
That's not what she said.
Of course. But I'm saying, and I'm not arguing with you, Debbie. All I'm saying is that I want, see, because at the same time, this is where the industry gets in this problem. And I say this and I stand in defense of contractors. If you're a chef, I'm not coming to your kitchen. And I say this to clients all the time. If you can build your house, don't call me. You and I never have to talk. That's not how I do business. If you can build it, there's no reason for us to have a conversation. Go ahead and build your house. I don't need someone who's not studied, trained in this space telling me they think what I'm doing, what I'm trained in, is wrong.
No, well, I didn't even say that the woman did that.
I'm just saying. That's why I'm saying we have to sometimes safeguard the position of where the contractors are. Now, we're not using that as an example. Yes, that probably was somebody who didn't do the right thing. But I'm saying to the point, though, we still are advocating for the contractors to be professionals of what they are. We're not always assuming that they are.
But this is probably one of the largest expense you'd ever do, and you're excited, and you want to go watch the job get, and you want to take photographs of it. That's what all my people do.
You could do all that, but you could either have a job, or you could decide that you want your job to be watching the contractor.
See, now you're assuming that I'm saying the whole day. I mean, you can stop by after work and take a photograph of the job, and because most people want to document that.
Yes, and that's fine. They can do that.
That's all I was talking about.
Okay, that's fine. Let's not believe it or broke. I'm always going to say, and you know the soapbox I'm going to stand on. If I literally intended to do something wrong, you wouldn't know. You couldn't tell. I guarantee I'm that masterful enough, and you're not skilled enough to know if I did it wrong. Couldn't tell. So I don't. That's, and I'm saying that very obviously, tongue in cheek. But if my mechanic rewired my electrical components wrong, I'd only know when the car didn't start. So me standing over him looking at it, ain't no help to him nor me. I guarantee I know.
You misunderstood what I said, what I meant, and what I said. Understand. I wasn't saying that you stand over and watch everything that they do, and you ask them, why are you doing this? And this doesn't look like what I've seen. That's not what I was talking about. I was just talking about show up at the job site. Show that you're interested. That's all. And it might not even be when they're there. It could be at nighttime. It could be on your way to work before they get there.
It's your project.
Yeah. Because too many times what happens is they don't show up, and then it's too late by the time they do show up. We've had too many phone calls over the last year with the same problem.
I can leave it there.
Yeah, okay.
I can leave it there.
Yeah.
You can leave it there.
Okay.
So, anyhow, going back to the housing situation now. Again, I'm gonna say that part of the housing challenge is that everybody wants a home and everyone wants their own yard. I believe that needs to change. I believe construction is a way of adjusting our realities a bit. I'm going to say that I'm one of the person that I got a home, I got a yard, and I can tell you, it's a nuisance sometimes. I don't need to be running around 5 acres and feeling like I own the Sierra Leone. That's not me. I can live in a condo just as happy and have my Cuban sky, and I'm great. That's me. That's not the typical Bohemian idea of a home.
Right.
And so what I'm suggesting...
It will eventually be, though.
And it will. Yeah. And I'm suggesting...
We don't have a
...that
choice,
the young Bohemians drive this change. Because if they start demanding that, then they start building it. we're still spending too much time, and realtors are mostly, I'm going to say, they're part of the challenge. They're still selling house and just a lot, buy a lot, build a house. Forget that. I personally believe that they need to talk to more development companies, say, buy this 15 acres of land and develop multi-floor dwelling houses. That's my view on it. Because for the foreseeable future, mm-hmm. we're not going to have enough land for every kid when they get out of high school to buy a land and build a house.
Yeah,
just scale that out another 30 years. Where's the land going to come from?
When you get like 10,000 kids that come
to like school. Yeah, like where's 10,000 pieces of property mm-hmm. going to come from?
Yeah.
And you're going to build 10,000 houses for the kids who just come. It just isn't. That's my approach. It's totally, and again,
because you can look at other countries like England and Canada and stuff where there's multifamilies.
Yeah.
All
the, and so you're going to have the suburbs mm-hmm. and you're going to have the city. And I think even on this island, you're going to have a mix of dwellings.
Right.
And I think that makes what we're going to look in the future different, because we stuck in the old way of doing what we had. And guess what we had mm-hmm. is not even available anymore. You can't go and buy a land for $5,000 anymore. You're starting at $100,000. And this is our age.
Yeah.
When your grandkids look for land, Debbie, it's not going to be at $100,000. It may be at $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't look at what their grandmother have. They will, more than likely, they won't be able to have the house their grandmother have. They just won't. Well, what I'm saying is,
between them and my kids, they're all going to get it.
No, I may get the house, but let's say they won't have their own.
Yeah.
Well, nice size house, Eastern Road. That's not going to be accessible to them. So. Yeah. It's best they start shaping their mind. Is, you know what? I could visit grandma. I'm probably going to inherit grandma's house. But I'm living inside a nice two-bedroom, three-bedroom condo or something.
That's the life they're going to have. We need urban planners here who really know the purpose of planning, not only just the housing, but everything around it. When you build something like that, you need to make sure that you're close to schools. You need to make sure that the shopping is not too far away. It needs to be, that's what an urban planner really does. It makes sure that you don't have to drive 10,000 miles to get to a grocery store, all that kind of stuff.
Well, I think that in that respect, town planning does a fairly good job mm-hmm. of managing proposed developments, but we don't have urban planners here
mm-hmm.
because part of the challenge is how our governmental structure is set up. In the United States, the city planners have the authority to determine where things can go.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that autonomy. We could determine I won't put my shop here. And it goes for approval. And town planning can say, based on the whole landscape, I think you can go there and what's not. There's no defined corridors inside other countries where this is for this zone for this
maybe
and this is that.
Maybe that's what we need.
Well, what we need isn't often going to happen in our country, because we want change, but we want everything to remain the same.
But in other countries, like the urban planners, they're not government persons. But
They work for the state.
Yeah.
They work for the state. Because they want the state to dictate how developments happen.
Mm-hmm.
Our approach is different. We let development happen, and then we have town planning that just approves it.
Try to figure it out later.
No one earmarked, and I'm going to say this publicly. Uh-huh. Nobody could show me a plan in the Ministry of Public Works, town planning, uh-huh. government, cabinet, where they earmarked 8 condo hotels to be on the waterfront. Nobody planned that.
Uh-huh.
Investors came and wanted that. Town planning approved it. We don't plan where things go.
Right.
We approve what other persons plan, and that's our approach was different.
Yeah.
In America, Canada, urban planners plan where things are going
to
go. And then they tell you, you want to do a nice high rise? Here's the spot where we plan that you could do a high rise.
Starting to look like Puerto Rico now.
It ain't finished yet. It's going to look like Miami Beach, but I love Miami Beach. So
I don't think we'll get to the height that the Miami.
No. But we'll have condos on the hall for sure. And then, once I can afford one, I'm cool with it. Got to work harder. So we got to go to our first commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how you could encourage your member of parliament to get the Department of Housing another $20 million so they could build 6,000 more homes. We'll be back after this break.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Paint Suppliers invites you to our 2026 Color and Design Trend Show featuring Pittsburgh Paints, an exclusive evening of color, creativity, and what's next in design. Join us on the evening of November 13th for a vibrant showcase of the shades and styles that will define 2026. Tickets are free, but seats are limited, so stop by Paint Suppliers on Shirley Street in the Jolly Roger Building to pick up yours today, or call 393-2836 to find out more. Your home can look fabulous. Let Paint Suppliers show you how.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing to agriculture to the creative industries to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We're going to go ahead and give out the phone numbers so persons who may not know could call. Numbers that you could join the conversation are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, and from the Family Islands, 300-5720, and text line powered by BTC is 422-4796.
And I would like to thank our sponsors who make this show a reality for us. Like I mentioned earlier when that gentleman called, this show is actually the Bahamian Contractors Association show. We just are the host for this show. So I'd like to thank ART Development. They also have a building store in Eleuthera as well. We have Bahamas Safety Solutions. We have Family Guardian. We had Mr. Trico on. We have to bring on the other two persons. We have Bahamas Development Bank. We really need to get them to come on the show. Sherwin-Williams, which we had the owner of Sherwin-Williams on a couple weeks ago, and Paint Suppliers, one of our newest sponsors. Yes, yeah. They have some amazing paints and things that I use on a regular basis.
So let's talk about a subject that's going to sound surprising. Mm-hmm. I am an advocate for the government's housing program, a strong advocate mm-hmm. for it.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the data and look at the statistics around the marketplace, no one else has been delivering mm-hmm. the number of homes at the price point mm-hmm. that you can purchase through the Ministry Department of Housing Program. So I want to say that publicly. I support that program. Mm-hmm. I would like to see that program expanded in terms of funding dollars mm-hmm. by double. So this is a call to the Prime Minister on behalf of the thousands of persons who still demand and require homes. They're doing a great job with the Department of Housing, providing the homes and finding opportunities for many, many, many of the contractors. Mm-hmm. So if you have more homes being constructed, more contractors have work, which right. we encourage, and we support that concept. Now, what I'd like the community of persons to do is write to their representative and say something similar. Say, listen, I got friends and family who are looking to mm-hmm. secure a government-funded home, mm-hmm. and they're doing some beautiful communities. Mm-hmm. And we want you guys to consider doing more of them. And I think if they get at least 1,000 letters, I think the threshold is that low. They get 1,000 letters, maybe they get another $20 million yeah. in the budget.
I think one of the issues is the lack of property that is not in flood zones. We found out, a month ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, that 3/4 of the entire island was flooded. So there's a lot between that and then also maybe raising the price by building the foundation.
I was going to say, you can build it up. I mean, geez,
everything costs money, though.
We build it in swamps.
You can do whatever you want to.
Flood zones, We're building in swamps. We've been building in swamps for 40 years.
I know, but aren't you getting tired of having to...
Me?
Aren't the persons getting tired of every time there's a storm, they have to take all their furniture out and throw everything away and replace their doors? And
Listen. Sandy Port's a swamp. Mm-hmm. It's always been a swamp. Mm-hmm. The most expensive real estate per square mile is in Sandy Port. Mm-hmm. They don't have a challenge there. You build up, build the right way. And
right. Yeah. With like I said, with money.
With money. Okay. Now
so
you're inside the Central.
So you were talking, about the government homes. Well, that's what we're talking about.
Well, I say this, and this is mm-hmm. why I support the government housing program. Mm-hmm. Now, Debbie, I'm going to invite you mm-hmm. one day. Take the long drive on Carmichael Road mm-hmm. and go check out Carmichael Village. Let me give you a first fun fact. Mm-hmm. Carmichael Village, mm-hmm. when you come off Carmichael Road into the right into Carmichael Village, off of the road and off of the platform that they built for the houses, mm-hmm. the drop is 6 feet. They built up that entire subdivision mm-hmm. 6 foot from its existence.
By cutting down one of our hills.
No, it wasn't a hill in the back there. No, okay. They filled it in. They brought in fill.
Oh, they brought in. Probably, they brought in maybe fill. Maybe from Grand Bahama.
Well, I don't know what they got from. All I know is that community won't ever flood. Mm-hmm. They brought in six. Right. And because off the road, you could see the fall off. It's six. You could, if you stand in the fall off. Mm-hmm.
Is that where there's a church? Is that the one that subdivision that has the church?
In front of
in
it?
In front?
There's, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Just behind it, yeah.
All right, I've been there before.
Yeah, but yeah. If you stand in the fall off, it's almost 6 foot.
Well, that's good, but but there are many that are not like that.
Yeah,
that's saying.
So again, that's why I encourage persons support mm-hmm. the housing program. Mm-hmm. Encourage your member of parliament
definitely
to encourage the prime minister to give them a lot more budget. In fact, I think they should have a quadruple budget because right now, if they get 1,000 homes to build them for me, that's at least 500 contractors additional working if you give each contractor at least 2 houses.
And each one of those houses will have to pay property tax.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Back end of it, they can get the money. I want 500 more contractors working in the housing communities. And I think that's not going to be a bad thing for construction and the economy. 500 more contractors building government homes, an exciting thing.
I think so.
Yeah. Now, for the one take the approach of building your own home on your lot, I'm going to suggest a couple of things. Talk to some people to find out about an architect who's a professional architect, who's not a professional architect. That's one. A good architect will guide you through the process. Mm-hmm. A good architect.
Yes.
And you want to ask some questions. I say, you know, I don't have a lot of money. What is your typical fees? I have a 3-bed, 2-bath home. It may be uni, but 1,800 square foot. What are your typical fees? They'll tell you, okay, well, that's going to usually cost you about X, Y, Z. So you could say, well, I can't afford this, or I can.
Right.
Things like that. And then find out, I would like to say, know what your budget is before you start. Don't talk to the architect until you know your budget.
Right.
If you don't want a guy design you a 3,000 square foot house and you only get your finances for $180,000.
Well,
you're wasting time.
You can go through Winton and see all those houses that never made it. We have someone else on the line.
Yeah. Call you live. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Debbie and Leonard.
How are you doing? What's going on, man?
Good evening.
Yeah, but Leonard, I am hearing what you're saying, right? But when you're waking in Lifeke and Old Fort and Albany like that, yeah, you might be the school and you might be the contracting, you might do it right. But when the wife come and the wife says she ain't like that, get break done. Yeah, I know, but plenty situation. I used to do trucking and baby in them gated communities. I have friends and family waking for SMG, them and thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of my boys, they take, but with the whole Montebello and staircase and everything like that. And when the wife come and she says she ain't like that. And they break, they got the money. They say they don't care. Yeah, you did, right? But break that down and do it again. You be in the school, you know how to do it, right? But when the wife, a happy wife is a happy life. They get what the wife want.
Another question
I had for you too is, you could buy a duplex plan from Ministry of Works, right?
I've been hearing that. And I would suggest, I want to say this.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is probably yes, although they're not in the business of selling plans.
Right.
That's part of why I'm kind of confused. But I know persons said that they obtained it from the Ministry of Public Works, but I don't know if it's a service that they generally offer to the public.
I would call Ministry of Works, and I would either ask for building control or the architectural department, because the architects are the ones that check all the plans that come in to the ministry.
But if they have, now I could say this. If they have housing communities that have multifamily dwellings in it and they have plans there, it may be one of those that you could access. I know for sure for single family dwellings, they do have government-approved typical single-family dwelling homes that you could access and you could get a copy of for probably about $50 or $100 or something like that, because they do those projects.
Right.
But for duplexes, unless the government is building duplexes, I don't know if you could call and go down there and obtain a copy of a duplex plan. Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to end with this. I agree with what you all were saying last week on the show when you was ending the show, about building these big houses, when you're in your 30s and you're building these big 10-bedroom houses, and all the children that move out, and only you want to guide this big 10-bedroom house and thing. Like, I agree with you all, build a moderate house.
Yeah, man.
Like how you say, Debbie doing a house.
Yeah, man. Piece by piece.
I know, but five people, one of my family members, he said he ain't been in his upstairs house in about 2 months.
Two years,
because he have knee problems.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
Up the stairs. And then I know some other people with a big 8-bedroom house. All the children move out and only them two in it and then like that. So you're right about that.
Yeah.
If they're a conservative-sized house, like you say, the girls, let the girls, them share the bedroom, the boys, them, each one of them ain't got off their
own. No,
if you live long enough, what do you want to end up in the house by yourself?
Well, I'll tell you what. When you're an environmentalist and you want to try to figure out how to lower your energy bill, the best way to do it is to build a smaller building.
Right.
And build it correctly, insulated properly so that you don't have to worry about it. So you're right. The bigger is not always better.
No.
No. Yeah. You're
all
absolutely right.
All right.
Thank
you for listening and enjoy the show.
Thank you very much for your call.
Yeah.
Yeah, Debbie, I like that approach because we didn't even talk about that.
No.
Could you imagine what the energy consumption is of a 5,000 square foot home?
I pray to God that somebody has done it properly and that they've got the isonine and the windows and that they've got the they've got the 21 SEER central air systems and that their fridge is only a 5-amp fridge and not a 10-amp fridge. I hope that all of those things were planned.
I don't want to know. I'm afraid if I open the bill for 5,000 square foot, I'll say, oh no, I'm going to have a heart attack. It has to be into the thousands.
Put an aspirin under your tongue before you look at
but
it.
But it's going to be into the thousands.
Do you think so? Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Debbie, trust me on that.
I'll have to start asking around. I don't know many people that have big houses.
Well, for my home, that's only a 1,500 square foot on one side of the townhouse. I got a bill of $800 before, so I can tell you.
What?
Yeah, imagine you get a bill.
What?
Yeah. During the peak of the summer?
That must have been when they were using the Blue Hill diesel.
They were using the devil's fuel. I don't know what it was,
no,
but
that's
it
what
was
they
$800.
Said. Oh, Lord. And that's funny enough, that was what mine was, but I have
a your house
huge
is way
house.
Bigger than that.
Yeah,
exactly. Now, did you run AC every day?
Yeah. It's on 24/7, but it's on at 78 degrees.
78 degrees?
Yeah,
I keep mine at 78.
Yeah. And it never, because it's a high SEER, they're 21 SEER.
Well, that's
they hardly ever click in and click out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine's not 21 SEER. So, yeah, those are the things you have to consider. And then I often tell people to, if you know that you have a family that, you know, you're doing well, your kids are doing well, they're not going to stay with you forever.
No.
You know, I don't know why you want to build a house and every kid has a room and they're going to go off to college. They're going to do well and they're going to leave. What's going to happen to the room that's there?
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. So keep them close, but let them share. You get old enough and uncomfortable, they move out.
Yeah.
And you got less room to worry about.
Yeah.
I know somebody who got 22 rooms. I know a person with 22 rooms.
Wow.
That's a hotel.
I think a lot of people, when you're able to, if you're smart enough when you're planning to build your house, that you have, let's say, a garage. I don't like garages. I will never put my car in a garage. But if you have a garage that you can turn into an in-law suite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or when one of the kids comes home from college and they don't want to live with you, but they can't afford to spend $2,000 a month on rent and they don't know who to have as a roommate, they could actually rent from you and rent the in-law suite, which would be kind of like a one-bedroom efficiency kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're close, but they're giving you the money. So whatever you spent to do that switching of the garage that you never use, you could do that. And that way your kids can actually come home from college and not think, oh, God, what am I going to do? I might have to stay in this other country because I don't think I can afford to live in the Bahamas, right?
Let me open up a concept before we get off the show that I think it's time is going to come inside this country.
Mm-hmm.
We need to think about if we start doing the things that we see on Instagram and on YouTube and stuff about living smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And I really mean that.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone needs to have the you know, Florida style, you know, homes that we have.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in a family island, I could tell you the quality of life is awesome in terms of the home that you could build and afford almost yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Than competing in Nassau, where you're spending a whole lot of money to purchase the land and building these homes. I think that we need to start looking at, first of all, it won't be feasible for a couple of years because you got to get the economies on those family islands working properly.
Yeah.
But if you could live in a modest home, and have almost zero overhead costs for living in that home, I wouldn't that want to be the thing you do. That sounds great to me.
Yeah.
Because a part of the story that we're not talking about is it costs to own a home. It costs you money. It's not free.
No. It's the maintenance and
the
everything
maintenance
else.
Of a home is a part of you living in the home.
And like I said to you before, we built the house part way up and then we borrowed money from the bank.
Mm-hmm.
We borrowed $190,000. By the time we paid that off in 25 years, it was over $600,000. That's insane.
Yeah, it's what it is.
So. No one ever told me when we were doing it. I never amortized it myself. I should have, but I never did.
Yeah,
never do that again.
Never do
and
it
I'll
again.
I'll never recommend anybody do that,
but,
ever.
But that's what That's the normal. Everyone's going to you're going to borrow $300,000, well, and when you finish paying it off, you almost paying off a million.
If someone had told me that before I borrowed that money, I never would have done it. Never would have done it. We pecked to that point. I would have kept pecking.
Kepping it. Yeah. I don't know.
We have one more.
We have one caller. Yeah. Call you live. Go ahead.
Hey, good night. Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I totally agree on the last part relative to the mortgage payment and the amount that you pay.
Mm-hmm. That's insane.
You contribute back almost three homes in one.
Three property. Times
yes.
as much, yeah.
Oh, that's insane. I just, it breaks my heart to even say it.
Yeah.
And then the sad part about it is that by the time as you finish paying it off, you got to find thousands of dollars to maintain it at mortgage.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to ask a question or even get your thoughts. Obviously, with all these different hurricanes that you're seeing mm-hmm. as of late and the veracity of these storms, the impact on our infrastructures and stuff like that, because obviously over a period of time, if you have the consistent storms passing through, mm-hmm. you know, the first year you may go unscathed, and then the next year, because of the compromise that you don't see from the storm of the previous
Correct.
Year, mm-hmm. You know, the cost of rebuilding, you know, all tied into what you're talking about, because at some point insurance companies are going to probably look at us and say, hey, you know what?
They'll stop giving us money.
You know, it's staying tough, and you mm-hmm. guys got to figure it out. So mm-hmm. when you're building these types of homes, building a smaller home with probably a much stronger element to it would probably be more sustainable, I mm-hmm. guess, in the long run.
That is sustainability, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I want to call it before you go. I want to mention that I think that we need to really seriously look at building homes to withstand resiliency, withstand hurricanes, but that means that you're going to build a concrete home. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to spend the money to build a concrete home, it needs to be a smaller footprint because concrete is expensive. But mm-hmm. I think that's the solution. Elevated concrete home? It's
elevated
not going to go
for sure.
Yeah,
elevated. They shouldn't even allow people to build anything under 4 feet above
the road level.
Yeah, for
road
sure.
level.
Yeah.
Even,
I mean,
even with the roofing, I think in Mexico and some other countries, they mm-hmm. use that concrete to build their roofs.
Yeah, even mm-hmm. on the roofs. Yeah. But if you use fiber or fiberglass rebar, mm-hmm. then I would encourage it. But we've done a roofing prototype or the rebar, and all the roofs are cracking. So,
yeah, that's Mount Pleasant was
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I don't really encourage that for roofs unless you use the fiberglass rebar.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call. I think they've been an excellent contribution.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah,
awesome.
Appreciate it too.
And yeah, that's what I'd like us to think about. Mm-hmm. I think that I'm an advocate of concrete mm-hmm. structures.
Me too.
But
it
has a cost. Mm-hmm. It just really isn't the cheapest way to build. Mm-hmm. You could buy cinder blocks and stack them together, but concrete is the way to go. But mm-hmm. you have to budget for that. I mean, it's not an average. Yeah. We're going to next caller. Let's take this call. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Hi. Good night.
Good night.
First time caller.
Oh, thank you. Welcome.
Enjoying the show.
Great.
My question is for my good cousin, Leonard Trump.
Go ahead.
Nato, this is your long-lost cousin.
I said the voice sounded familiar, but I was trying not to embarrass myself.
Me and my soul is talking about the show. We love the show.
Oh, thank
Nato,
you.
Nato, I know you're familiar with my home back in the day. Well, it was my parents' home.
Mm-hmm. In South Beach.
And it has a drop floor.
It has a sunken living room.
Right. That mm-hmm. is not for the type of weather we're now experiencing.
Let me ask you a question, because
you have an indoor swimming
if
pool.
You, exactly. Does when you have high water, do you have water in the living room?
Right. When
when
it was being built, we actually thought we were having a swimming pool.
you need to fill that in.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to spend time. You probably need to pour that sunken den floor and make that up to the grade level.
Lifting it to the first step. If only, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm glad I only have the issue in one room as opposed to
all the rooms. Yeah, only the living room spaces that way.
Is that a contractor's issue or who would be my go-to?
You could get a contractor.
I didn't even say the contractor's
issue. Yeah, that's a small thing. That's again, the great thing is you already have a stable foundation because you already get the floor there. You're just pouring another 8 inches or 6 to 8 inches of concrete on top of that floor if you want to take it to the first step. As my memory serves me correct, you got I think you got probably with 2 to 3 steps to go down to the den level. Yes. Is it 2 or 3?
Right. Two.
Two. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you want to take it up all the way to the top floor, that's a foot of concrete. I would encourage you not to do the foot of concrete. I would put backfill in it because it's going to be contained.
But I would definitely go to the top so the thing is level because I'll tell you what, this flooding that we had this year is not going to be the only time we're going to have this.
Yeah.
Now that we've done, now that it's happened, this will happen because our water table is so much
higher than it used to be.
So it's going to be that on a regular basis. So do whatever you can so that you don't have to get a pump to pump out water of your house every year.
Yeah, I mean, I buckets.
Oh,
now, Kaz has a solution. Now, I got a solution for you.
I'm listening.
Because you know it fills, and it fills until and as I remember, down there was carpet. I hope you'll replace the carpet.
Well, that
it's still carpet.
Carpet anymore. No,
okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
Good. So it's tile. What
I
would do.
I don't think in the south really looks like carpet anymore.
Okay. Great. What I would suggest as I pick the I'm going to say pick the because I know there's no bedroom on that side. Pick the west facing wall. Put a 2-inch diameter weep hole with screen in front on the interior side and a screen on the exterior side. Mm-hmm. And until you pour that floor, if water goes in there, it will not settle because it's going to slope and go out the building. You won't have a pool in there anymore. That's going to cost you about $100, but it's a temporary solution.
Until you can afford to do what you need to do or have the time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could have called me because you could have called me. I would give you a solution before you came on the show.
No, don't worry. The call is coming.
Okay.
The call is coming.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and good to talk to you. I'll see you this weekend.
Yes, sir.
And you note that she calls me Nato.
I know. The last part
secret.
Of your...
Call you live.
Oh,
sorry. I hung up the call. Sorry. My apologies, caller. I hung up on you. Please call back. That was... I hit the wrong button. That's my excitement of my good cousin calling me. So, that's what I think we're going to consider. I like concrete. Mm-hmm. I also like ICF. I built one ICF home some 10 years ago. I'm a proponent and lover of it because it's a system that's out of North. It's out of Canada predominantly because they get extreme colds. But what I love about it is the insulating quality of it.
Right.
I love that
about
it.
What happens in a fire, the styrofoam on the inside just melts.
Just melts away.
And then you have a void.
Yeah. No, you don't have a void. You just have the concrete.
We have a call. Yeah. Please don't disconnect this.
Call you live. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. How you all doing?
We're doing good. Got it right this time.
Good. I want to build efficiency, right?
Yeah.
In the back of my
home.
House. Mm-hmm. I already have a storage, but I want to
turn that and convert it into efficiency.
I have to store it, but now my thing is the storage is already built on a block.
Mm-hmm.
But I you know, this is something I want to
yourself
put on a rental to get a couple of dollars off. But I want to do it strong enough. But I think the block is so expensive. I remember blocks were like 50 cents.
Now, when was that?
Like $2 and something cents.
I buy a soda for 15 cents, so, you know.
but what I said, I had to say, somebody was telling me go with the Jew Rock.
Mm-hmm. Now.
Keeping in 2 buildings, because there's a building in the back of me.
And then your building, like, so you want to fill the gap.
Like between the 2 buildings.
Yeah. Now, let me...
It would put a good foundation down.
Yeah.
Because,
let me...
you know, I got to run for the bathroom fixtures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the Duroc?
Let me give you my firm advice on that. Duroc will not have the total wind load resistive strength as concrete block. However...
I am aware of that.
Right. However, let me tell you how you're going to build this assembly. Yeah. If you decide to install 2x6 or 2x8 studs to get it as close as 8-inch concrete block, right? And you want to space those. I wouldn't space those no more than 16 inches apart. And if you want to make it really, really rigid, go 12 inches on center. Then I would also go, if you want to make sure get as close to block as possible, I would then also put two layers of Duroc on it and then scratch wow. and brown on the exterior.
Well, do you think, okay, on a scale of block to Duroc, how much you think
I think you can almost...
The block could be cheaper.
That could be cheaper. Yeah. After you do that assembly, yeah. I think you can net it the same. Yeah. You beat me a little bit more. And then I'll also want to put insulation in between. So you just go with 8-inch block if I would advise you. It's just cheaper to go with 8-inch block. And you mentioned that... Let me ask you a question. What is the gap between building A and building B that you want to fill?
Okay.
10 feet? 20
like
feet?
Like a 10. I think the gentleman who's measuring it, he says like about
10
feet.
By how long?
10 foot of block by how tall?
The place that I'm putting in?
Mm-hmm.
No, the place that I'm putting in is be like, I think he said a bedroom is like a 10 by 8.
So you're only building a bedroom?
No, I got to use the shed.
The shed and then extending
the shed and that. Mm-hmm. I see. I understand now.
I want to use a piece that I like a kitchenette.
Mm-hmm.
Then the bedroom and then a bathroom.
Right. See, the thing with Duroc, if you've ever lifted it up, it bends. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the strength that a block would have.
But if you...
Yeah, but like I would say, the building that I want to put up, it would be protected by my house, and then there's a set of apartments in the back of me that would be put between. So far as breeze and...
Yeah. The only...
You're the smart people in this.
Yeah, my thing is...
Hurricanes don't worry about
the block.
Yeah,
another thing too, the roof.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put a T roof. I just want to put a roof with the back, with the top, the front would be higher than the back, so the water could drain off.
Oh, you want to slope it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I still want to be able to put a ceiling fan and light fixtures and stuff.
Well, that's
easy.
On the inside, you can make it flat if you want to. Mm-hmm. The outside has a slope on it, so that's not a big deal. What I want to say about the Duroc situation is this, right? Again, it's not going to be the same resistive strength, but you can get it close to. But to do so wouldn't cost you almost the same thing.
That's a block.
Secondly, if you have, and I want to say this, all the structures that we go to in our lifetime, whether it's inside North Florida, outside of South Florida, if you go anywhere, no, actually even in South Florida too, the assemblies of the exterior structures are not concrete block in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. It's going to be either heavy gauge metal stud, dense board, which is fiberglass board, mm-hmm. with stucco or what we call plaster finish on it. So, mm-hmm. and they go through hurricanes as well. Some of them have significant structural damage, some of them don't. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying to you that, so I don't want you to think that you can't build it and it won't be safe. You just have to build it with enough of the resistive qualities.
Yeah,
by doing that, you may spend the same amount of money as concrete block.
It would have been a difference, right? I hope I don't sound bad saying this. I would say it would have been a difference if I was building it for me to live in.
Mm.
Right, but if you're building it for somebody else, yes.
Yeah.
And you don't want them to have to leave.
Time, I want it to look attractive and I want it to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like you all say, go with the blocks. Right?
I would say go with the concrete block. But again, I'm 15 years ago, I did a 5,000 square foot home at the Abaco Club that been through all the storms. It's still there for 4 seasons. So mm-hmm. that's wood.
Okay.
That's wood.
Mm-hmm.
So
wood?
It's wood. You could build anything strong enough if you have enough money and you have it engineered to withstand what it is. So again, professional engineers designed it.
Yeah.
Simpson wall panels on any licking corners, lock concrete poured into the rock, anchored down 15 inches. It's just designed to not move.
Right.
And so it does that.
Okay, well, I'll take your advice and I'll continue listening to the show.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate
it.
And so that's what I often say. You know, I advocate all, you know, I could... On Farmy Islands, I have property in Farmy Islands. I'm mm-hmm. going to build a wooden structure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to build a wooden structure.
Yeah.
I built one before.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to build it to resist as much as I can. Mm-hmm. I'm going to insure it. If the hurricane flattens it, I got insurance. That's my thing. I'm not going to put a concrete structure in Farmy Island. Not for me. Mm-hmm. Not for my vacation home.
Yeah.
Because all the things that you can do is the best as you could do. But Mother Nature is a force that no no amount of engineering can reconcile with if it really comes to
I was
something.
Super glad that we had a block house in Harbor Island when our house, when we had Andrew there, because a wooden house never would have made it. Well, except for the ones that were built
in the 1700s. I'm just going to say the ones that have been in the 1700s are
yes,
still there.
Yes, boat built by boat builders.
Boat builders have been studying. You can build the same thing. So think about it. Your concrete house survived and the wooden house survived. I'm going to be advocate that...
That would, but not some of the other ones that were built
by... But not all. Yeah. I guarantee you, I could show you a house on Nassau Street. That's from 1700. I could show you my old great-great-grandparents' house since I've been down. Yeah. Still here. I've been through every storm.
Yeah.
So the boat builders had...
They knew how to build. They knew how to
and
build.
And I said, let's just copy the boat builders.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyhow, we have had another exciting, wonderful effort. I'm sure today we thank all of the persons who made this show very special. And continue to do so. Call us, ask us questions. We enjoy that part of this experience because we are the Bahamian Contractors Association, and we are here to educate persons about construction and help them with any questions they may have for us. Debbie, this has been a good show.
It has been a great show.
And our next show.
We nailed it.
Yeah, we nailed it again. And our next show, we're excited. We have persons from National Insurance.
Yes.
And that's going to be a fantastic show, and we want everyone to tune in because they want to hear what National Insurance got to say for contractors.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
In years following independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has carried out our mandate of expanding and diversifying the nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama in the north to Inagua in the south. Our clients come from all sectors of domestic industry. We are proud to support local manufacturing, technology, agricultural projects, and creative works that draw from our native heritage. We will continue to finance inter-island transport from the mailboats of yesterday to the ships of the future. Let us power the possibilities of the new economy together. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website at www.bdb.gov.bs to complete your application today.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Paint Suppliers invites you to our 2026 Color and Design Trend Show featuring Pittsburgh Paints. An exclusive evening of color, creativity, and what's next in design. Join us on the evening of November 13th for a vibrant showcase of the shades and styles that will define 2026. Tickets are free, but seats are limited. So stop by Paint Suppliers on Shirley Street in the Jolly Roger Building to pick up yours today. Or call 393-2836 to find out more. Your home can look fabulous. Let Paint Suppliers show you how.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates, as little as 5% down for first-time buyers, and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the out islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.